It's
an
odd one.
Hey, oddballs. I'm your host, Jensen, and welcome to episode 58. I'm just going to put a little PSA out there for anybody who is wondering why I haven't gotten to your story yet. I have had a couple people reach out to me and just send me their story because their stories have been deleted from where I was getting them from. That's totally fine. You are more than welcome to send me your story. Just double check if we've talked and whatnot. Just double check and see if your story has been deleted because I do face that quite a bit. Unfortunately, it's just the nature of the job. Things get deleted and I have to move on to the next one. But if you really want yours read, just send it to me. I'm totally cool with that. You can send it to me however you want, wherever you find me. I'm totally cool with anything. But anyhow, I'm going to move on. And today, happy birthday. Happy birthday, you August 9th babies. We're going to learn a little about you today. So here we go.
Happy birthday!
The combination of their capacity for keenly incisive thought and strong orientation toward their fellow beings endows those born on this day with a fierce desire to help others to identify and then follow the optimum course through life. Blessed with powerfully perceptive skills, as well as the ability to marshal the information that they amass into a structured and constructive strategy for achieving progress. They have an apparently effortless talent both for analysis and for transforming the results of their researches into clear and direct plans of action. Those around them solicit their carefully considered advice, especially since they have a gift for communicating their genuine concern for others in an optimistic, kindly, and encouraging manner. Natural leaders, these individuals are therefore well suited to professions in which they can devote themselves to guiding and benefiting others. Careers as teachers, counselors, or human resource specialists are particularly well starred. The personal relationships of those born on this day are similarly categorized by their profoundly protective attitude towards those closest to them, especially their children if they are parents. Desiring their emotional happiness as well as material well-being, these individuals typically approach, and one that is even more pronounced if they are women, is to gently steer their loved ones into what they perceive as being the best direction. Although this benevolent exertion of control is entirely unselfish, they should appreciate potential rebellion on the part of the subjects of their concern, who may rest such attempts to direct their actions. Their virtues are positive, upbeat, inspirational. Their vices are bossy, interfering, and domineering. So happy birthday again, you August 9th babies, and we're going to move on to stories.
This comes from Not Omar, TORRIJOS, on Reddit.
In August of 2018, I visited the famously haunted Bodmin Jail with my family, age 16. It wasn't until 2021, after a period of severe depression and anxiety, that my brain started to allow me to put some pieces together. And I believe this visit to the jail left me with something. I feel as though part of the jail is still with me. I'm gonna try to explain the best way I can. At 16 years old, I wasn't a solid believer in the paranormal. I was into paranormal shows, watched all the trashy ghost hunting shows out there, and had a large collection of books on the subject. But I never experienced anything with my own senses that I could confidently describe as paranormal. I was completely open to it, but I never experienced it myself. I also, thankfully, had no experience with mental health issues. I made it through school confident, grounded, perfectly comfortable with myself, and looking forward to the future. Hopefully this will give you some context to what I'm about to try and describe. Flash forward to a family holiday to Cornwall in 2018, and we decided to visit Bodmin Jail. Having seen photos online of the incredible abandoned wings of the prison, overgrown with ivy and slowly decaying behind the layers of moss. We'd visited many similar sites over the years, and although prisons have an inherently spooky vibe to them, something about Bodmin felt immediately different to me. I remember feeling as though I could easily have maxed out a heart rate monitor as we walked through the gates into the courtyard. My memory of the building and our tour around it is a little fragmented since it took place 5 years ago, but I'll try my best. I recall first descending narrow stairs with a cast iron handrail into a basement section of the building. Once in the lower levels, I felt a sudden wave of complete emotional overload. It felt as though I could physically feel all of the emotions of the building. The air felt like it was squeezing my stomach, and I felt completely disassociated from my surroundings. It's one of the worst sensations I've felt to this day. I described it to my girlfriend like the feeling you get in a nightmare where not just events or places are bad, but your entire being is bad. You're existing on a plane of reality constructed from pain and fear. Something I felt specifically in that basement area is the sense that things happen there which are not known about. As if all the people who suffered there were screaming out that there were crimes committed against them in those lower levels of the building which were never discovered. Forms of abuse or punishment which were far from extreme and perverted than what is common knowledge about the prisons of the era. Other parts of the jail felt terrible still. But none as hopeless and dark as the lower levels. The only other area which felt comparable to the basement was the area located at the entrance to the naval wing of the jail. I vaguely remember an entrance to a shaft of some kind, possibly a lift or chimney, which has a very foreboding aura about it. Interestingly, I felt completely disconnected from the execution pit on display there. On paper, this should be the more sinister part of the tour, but I remember feeling far less suffocated there, and as if part of my subconscious recognizes the area as wrong. A voice in the deep part of my brain was telling me, "Wait, this isn't how it looked." I've never experienced a feeling like that. In the months following, I began college. And not long after my first term, began to experience things I've never felt before. Moments again where I would feel the same sense of darkness and panic that I did in the basement of Bodmin Jail. Days where it felt as though my brain was trapped somewhere, but my body was free. I remembered occasions where I cried out of the blue for no reason. Nothing was happening in my life which would trigger these reactions. My life was going well by all accounts. Although, it did not stay this way in the coming years. By the following winter, I had decided to see a therapist. I was struggling in so many areas of my mental health. Most interestingly, that I would panic in a space where I was shut in. Classrooms with closed doors, buses, rooms with no clear exit. A therapist even told me once that my symptoms reflected those of someone struggling with PTSD and explicitly listed an example of someone who had previously been incarcerated. Somehow I still didn't connect the dots. The visit to the jail had not crossed my mind for a long time. During my recovery from this period of depression, I developed an interest in meditation and spirituality. Meditation was without a doubt one of the most powerful tools to my recovery, and I inevitably found myself researching different types of meditation practices. One day, I decided to follow a guided meditation track designed to help you recall images from past lifetimes. While I never came to any meaningful conclusions about past lives, I did encounter several very vivid images whilst doing the meditation, which I drew on a scrap of paper immediately afterwards. One image, a clock tower, seemed oddly familiar. At some point that day, it dawned on me that the clock tower was in fact the clock tower located not far from Bodmin Jail, near a set of roundabouts in the village. All of the memories of the jail, the visit, and the sensations I felt there came back to me, and I felt completely engulfed, the same way I felt in the basement of the jail. I spent some time researching the jail, and discovered after a while that the clock tower stands where the original town gallows were located before gallows were constructed inside the prison walls. It took me a good while to reach the conclusion that the visit to the jail may well have been the trigger for all the emotional turmoil I went through. The random intense feelings I continued to encounter occasionally out of the blue of anger, fear, hopelessness, being trapped, feeling betrayed, may not be as random as I previously thought. I think I'm still in the slow process of accepting that I didn't leave from the jail alone. Something came with me, be it the memories and feelings of another who suffered there, or my own memories and experiences from a previous lifetime. Either way, my life has been different ever since. Although mentally, I made a good recovery, despite 2 years of hell. I have never felt the same. Like, sometimes I'll be enjoying a good day and something just materializes inside of me and I'm right back into those basement levels. I feel scared, trapped, sick, cold, and angry. Then it vanishes as quickly as it came. Since visiting the jail, I have developed a love of sunlight, which I never had before. I feel compelled to be out in the sun anytime I get the opportunity. And if something prevents me from doing this, it makes me really irritable. I didn't realize until recently just how driven I have to get sunlight all of the time. I happen to live on an estate owned by the direct living descendant of the High Sheriff of Bodmin on the other side of the country. I grew up playing in a park, which quite literally used to be the High Sheriff's garden. His manor house still stands, an interesting coincidence. The High Sheriff moved to Eastbourne, East Sussex, I believe while serving as an official for Bodmin, and had a significant impact on the town. He moved a large stone cross all the way from Truro, Cornwall, to the churchyard in Eastbourne near his new home. I used to walk past this cross as a child all the time, and always felt something weird about it. My friends and I would joke about it being haunted. He is buried in the same churchyard, which is coincidentally where my parents were married. I walked right past his grave almost daily for years of my life before I found out anything about this. His family owned a huge amount of land near Eastbourne and countless housing estates. I actually used to look after some of their land for my last job. His many times great-grandson, interestingly enough, had a reputation for being, shall we say, a little corrupt, although I never met him in person. If I were going to follow the past lives hypothesis, executions were carried out in and around Bodmin Jail from the mid-1700s up until 1910. There were three sites of execution that I know of. One was a triangular gibbet, which was located near the clock tower at the Five Ways roundabout, on the site of which is now a funeral home. Another was the gallows located inside the prison courtyard. And the last was a private execution room inside the jail, which was used toward the end of the prison's life. This is the room I remember feeling that this isn't how it looked, feeling. All right, so I actually did reach out to this person to chat a little bit more because I thought it was very interesting. And we were talking about how maybe they have all of these memories because, well, first of all, obviously in their story, they're talking about their past life, but maybe even having a relative that was possibly there who had died there. And maybe that's why they have such a connection to this place. Totally unsure. I think it's wild that you go to investigate at a place and then you're kind of left feeling basically like a different person. And so that's just so wild to me that this person literally just went to go investigate and see a jail and then it literally changed their life. And if that's not wild to you, then I don't know what is. But if any of you have had an experience like this where you've visited anywhere or even specifically this jail, if you've had an experience, let me know. And we're going to move on to the next story.
This comes from AnimeFan2209 on Reddit.
A few years ago, I was in my bed half asleep. I had my eyes closed and heard a weird noise in my doorway. When I opened my eyes, I saw this 6-foot spherical light shrouded in gray mist float from my doorway to my window, and then it faded through the bedroom wall. When the next day came, my little brother asked if I saw something strange, because he saw it come into his room through the wall in my bedroom that I saw it fade into. Balls of light are so weird to me. I know a lot of people experience similar things and see like orbs of light move around rooms and get in their faces and what have you, but my brain can't wrap around what that could even be. My brain could make out more of a person figure because, well, for one, I've seen it. My brain can picture that, but it's weird to have a ball of light just traveling around the room. Like, what is that? What could that be? It's just a really weird one to me. My brain does not compute. But what do you guys think? Have you had an experience like this? Let me know. And if you've had any type of paranormal experience, like either story today or just in general, let me know. And I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And well, it's an odd world after all.
Oddballs, go follow us on It's an Odd World After All podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Also, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you have a story you would like to share, email us at itsanoddworldafterall@gmail.com or message us on one of our social platforms. Don't forget to share us with your family and friends. And check out our website, itsanoddworldafterall.com.